The winds of change, they are a-blowing. And where are these NFL head coaches going? That's right, everybody. Welcome back to the Crossing Routes Podcast, fueled by FTN Fantasy. My name is Herms, joined as always by my good friend Tyler O, and we are talking about all of the recent news from around the league and all of the different coaching vacancies that exist around the NFL. Obviously, a lot of that is going to impact fantasy football in 2026 and beyond. The people who end up with these jobs are going to be in control of all of these rosters. What ends up happening with the offenses, all sorts of stuff like that. Who are some of the guys that are going to get hired? What about some of these coordinator changes as well? All sorts of stuff that we have to cover in today's episode. We're going to go team by team. We're going to talk about the coaches that got let go and sort of what we can expect from these different positions and what could be exciting for fantasy. But before we get into any of that, Tyler, how's it going? How's 2026 treating you so far?
Life is good, Herms. So far, avoided any type of illnesses or sicknesses within the family, so that's always good. Everyone I know apparently is sick right now, so on the personal side, things are good. Glad to be back on the mic with you. Also, really glad to be talking about other things than recaps. Love the recap show. Love talking ball, but man, it's good to kind of turn a new leaf here in 2026 and start talking about things and looking ahead. Coaching, a lot of going on here, a lot of changes, a lot of different things can happen. It can impact fantasy in a lot of different ways, man. I'm ready to rip.
Now, I'm glad you used the phrase that you did, turning over a new leaf, because I think that's the big thing that a lot of these teams are really going to want to do, especially some of the franchises that didn't have a lot of success with certain coaches. There are some teams that are letting go of guys who were only in the positions for a very short amount of time, and that is very true of our first coach that we're going to be talking about. Jonathan Gannon, let go by the Arizona Cardinals. He was only there for about 3 years. If we remember correctly, he was originally poached from the Philadelphia Eagles coaching staff. He comes from the defensive side of the ball. I do think that the Cardinals defense, they had some interesting stuff going for them. I can't remember. What was his name? Walter Nolan, the really talented young defensive lineman they drafted from Ole Miss. I think he only played in a handful of games toward the end of the year because I think he got hurt in camp or something, but that's beside the point. We have to zoom out a little bit more and talk about it from the fantasy perspective, obviously, because we talked about the Cardinals a lot on this show this past year. It was certainly an interesting season for them. We only got a handful of games out of Kyler Murray. This was mostly an attack led by quarterback Jacoby Brissett. There were some positives. There were a lot more negatives. I know in our last episode, we sort of reviewed, you know, some of my perspectives that I had in the preseason about Marvin Harrison Jr. There's all sorts of stuff to dig into as far as that goes. So, you know, we'll start with just the Cardinals and Jonathan Gannon himself. I mean, is this somebody that, you know, we need to be, you know, thinking too much about for, you know, other positions and stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I think he'll land on his feet as a defensive coordinator, if I'm being completely honest. That was really what he was focused on prior to coming in here. Didn't seem like he was ready to be a head coach. I think the biggest issue here is going to be that they don't have the quarterback position all sorted out, and a lot of other of these open positions do. Okay, they do have a top three pick, likely going to have a, you know, kind of a clean slate at quarterback if they want one, but there's a big quarterback decision looming here for whoever they bring in, and I think that's going to kind of define what's happening here for the Cardinals. I don't really think that, you know, Gannon is well suited to be a head coach right now. I think he was given a very fair shot, went 15-36 over three seasons, not very good. So at the same time, defense really failed to improve for the Cardinals side, and they put a lot of investment into that. So it's not a good look, right? Between what happened at the quarterback position, between the defense not really improving with a lot of investment, just no real progress. So they're going to look in a new direction. A couple names that I think I've seen pop up, like they want to keep on the defensive side. They could go with Brian Flores or Vance Joseph, both kind of retreads, but had some success. And then Clint Kubiak. This won't be the last time I bring up Clint Kubiak's name. Is he somebody that I think is tied to almost every vacancy at this point in time if they want to go on the offensive side of the ball? So it's good for the Cardinals to be like, all right, let's look in a new direction. We tried Jonathan Gannon out. It didn't work. There's some positives, but there's still some negatives. This is not one of the, I would say, more appealing openings at the head coach position, I would say.
And I think that's something that I kind of want to have us cover throughout the course of this episode. So let's just say, let's put the job desirability scale at a 1 being the absolute worst and a 5 being like, yo, this job, if you land this, you are in a dream scenario. Personally, starting with me, I would put the Cardinals maybe somewhere around like, I don't know, I guess maybe like 3 or like a 3.5, just because of the fact that you do possibly have the flexibility of getting to choose your own quarterback. Because like you were saying, Kyler Murray's tenure probably coming up out there in the desert. It wouldn't shock me at all to see him get moved at some point this offseason. With the size of his contract, it's going to be challenging to find a partner. But I do think whoever takes over this job is going to have a little bit of flexibility from that point standpoint to kind of build the team sort of in their own image. What sort of grade on that scale would you put the desirability of this Cardinals job?
I think 2.5, but I think that would more so have to do with the fact of the other positions that are open, right? I think their cap space is pretty mid, so you know it's okay. I'd say that's not a strike against them or something for them. So for me, it's more so 2.5. So I'm a little bit feeling a little weaker on this one than you, but I think it's just because I do think some of these positions, when you do dig a little bit deeper in their cap space and their draft capital, that they can be a little bit more appealing. So that's where I land with the Cardinals. I think there's a couple ones that are worse, but there's more that are better.
I think one of the ones that we could easily classify as better is the next one alphabetically. The Atlanta Falcons letting go of both head coach Raheem Morris and also their longtime general manager Terry Fontenot. That the GM move in Atlanta was a little bit less surprising to me than the moving on from Morris. I honestly kind of think he got a bit of a raw deal personally. There's definitely a lot that needs to be improved in Atlanta. We don't really have a super great idea as to what this offense is going to look like long term, if only because of the fact that we got Michael Penix for a portion of a season before he ended up having more of his own knee issues, knocking him out toward the end of the year. So that is going to be a little bit of a challenge to overcome. But I do think in terms of desirability, if I were to put them on the 1 to 5 scale, I'm putting the Falcons, maybe not, it's not a perfect 5, but it is very, very high up there, because whoever takes over this job, and I'm hoping it's on the offensive side of the ball, because yeah, Morris, great head coach, but more of a defensive guy. I think it would definitely behoove Atlanta to go after somebody who can really get the most out of running back Bijan Robinson, wide receiver Drake London, and if Kyle Pitts decides to rejoin the team, because if I remember correctly, this is the end of his rookie deal. I do think he is set to be a free agent. There's no guarantee he's going to come back to Atlanta, but you are immediately looking at just a treasure trove of offensive weapons to be able to deploy. So how are you feeling about this job? Are there any names in specific that you think would be really good here? Just to, you know, give listeners an idea of some of the people that have already been requested for interviews from the Atlanta Falcons per The Athletic. We've got Clint Kubiak, a name that you mentioned already. They've also asked about Kevin Stefanski, a name that we'll talk about a little bit when we get into the Browns. I don't know. Just give me your sort of vibe check on this whole Falcons thing.
Yeah, I'm with you that it's definitely one of the more desirable locations. I think the thing that really is the strike against the Falcons is going to be the lack of a first-round pick, right? They traded it away. They don't have a first-round pick in this draft. Like, that's just not something you want to walk into as a head coach. However, the fact that we have a lot of weapons, and let's not forget that this defense was good. Like, the Falcons' defense at many points in time this year was probably a top 5, top 10 defense. So you have a good defense. You have great weapons on the offensive side. Quarterback position, a little messy, but I mean, frankly, like, that's almost got to be expected sometimes. Like, when you walk into a team that's going to have a good defense and really good pieces, not everything's going to be in place. Not everyone can be the Ravens, and we'll get to that, right? So for me, it's the first round pick's not there. This is an easy 4 out of 5 in terms of desirability. I would agree with you that Kubiak and Stefanski are kind of the two names that I would expect to see there, but you also get to bring in new leadership at the same time. So there's a lot to be excited about here. The cap space is pretty mid here as well. Raheem Morris was able to find some success. I believe he went 8-9 two seasons in a row. You don't have to rebuild as a Falcons coach here. So it's a good spot to land.
Definitely so. And, you know, kind of even beyond just, you know, some of the weapons that we highlighted, the defense had really started taking a step forward. I think at least a handful of the very recent draft picks have started to do pretty well. But we'll stick with birds for our next team and talk about the Baltimore Ravens. Now, John Harbaugh, dude, look, anybody who can haul a job for 18 seasons in a row, kudos to you, Harbaugh. And if you just look at his overall tenure, I mean, obviously his track record of winning in the playoffs for a long time was really, really good. He ended up with that Super Bowl title way back. I mean, damn, I was in high school when that happened, but it was a long time ago. Obviously, the Ravens haven't been as successful in recent seasons. They haven't been able to quite get over the hump, especially, I mean, we saw just recently one kick away from getting back into the playoffs. And then the year before, there was just that really sort of dramatic loss to Buffalo. It was time for a change. I think it makes a lot of sense. And if there is going to be one team that earns the elusive 5 out of 5 rating for me, even though I am a fan of their direct rival in the Pittsburgh Steelers, I think the Ravens job is probably the best job that there is, because organizationally, they've always been very strong. The leadership structure at the very, very top has always been very good. And dude, whoever gets this job, it's to work directly with Lamar Jackson. I can't imagine that there probably are not that many people on planet Earth that are football coaches who wouldn't want to work with Lamar Jackson. So, like, what sort of expectations do you have for this opening and what, you know, we could possibly get out of the Ravens moving forward?
I'm glad you said expectation, because I think that's really the only downside of any coach who takes this job. Is there's going to be high expectations right off the jump. I mean, whoever lands this job is in win now territory. They're not given any time to rebuild. They're going to come in and expect to make the playoffs. And that's uncommon for a head coach vacancy. So you get, like you mentioned, you get Lamar Jackson. Defense, while it was inconsistent, has a lot of very strong pieces into it. They have the number 14 overall pick. Again, they're not in any issues with cap space. Again, middle of the pack when it comes to the cap space. It's just one of those situations, man, where I can't find anything really wrong with wanting to take this job besides the expectations being too high. Clint Kubiak, again, another name tied. I think I might say him for almost every single team at this point in time. I've heard Brian Flores' name floated around. I think Jesse Minter, if I had to like bet on which coach is able to kind of land this job, Minter would be the guy that kind of falls to the front for me. So, there's not really a ton to say here. I think the only other thing I'll say is John Harbaugh, it's not the last time I'm going to say his name, is he's pretty much going to have his pick of the litter here for whatever head coaching job he wants.
Yeah, there are a couple teams toward the end of our list that I think Harbaugh would be a perfect guy for. Let's try and squeeze in one more before we take our commercial break and keep it in the AFC North with the Cleveland Browns. Kevin Stefanski being let go after a handful of seasons, 6 to be specific, and they just, I don't know, it's the Browns, dude. They've never found a quarterback. The entire time that I have been alive and watching football, they have never been able to find a quarterback. I think that is a lot of the reason that this didn't ultimately succeed. There's definitely the whole Deshaun Watson aspect of everything that sort of threw things for a loop, but even beyond just some of the candidates that they want to talk to, I was having this conversation with a buddy of mine recently about how desirable this job is. And it's not a 5, it's not a 4, but I'm a little bit more generous when it comes to the Browns. I'm putting it at a 3, especially because even though the offensive side has a lot of questions, I don't know how enthusiastic any candidate is going to be about the possibility of maybe being in a position where they have to try and build things around Shedeur Sanders, a quarterback. But you look at that defense, dude, and you are immediately walking into something where at least you can tell yourself, hey, we only have to do a bit of a facelift for one side of the ball. At least I know I'm going to have Myles Garrett wreaking havoc. The secondary is pretty strong, too. And if the team just gets a little bit healthier, particularly at offensive line, I think there's definitely something to build from here. So I do put it at a 3. I do think that it is a decent job opening if somebody, you know, really is up for the challenge. How do you feel about the Browns and sort of their status moving into 2026 and beyond?
I think a three is very fair. Obviously, the quarterback position is, there's no solution there. We completely, I think most people forgot about Deshaun Watson. Good thing. But he's still there. And frankly, like, even when he wasn't playing well, arguably, he might be the best quarterback on the roster right now, which is, it's a problem to try to kind of figure this out. He has a huge contract next to him. But like you said, they have two first round picks. Okay. And they have a great defense. So there's movement here. Seems like they got the running back of the future. Seems like they got their tight end of the future. They might be looking internal. I think Jim Schwartz, defensive coordinator there, even Tommy Rees, offensive coordinator, seem like they're getting a look to kind of fill that position. It wouldn't shock me for them to kind of go internal, but I think like Mike McDaniel's kind of a more of a sneaky name that I could see coming this way. But what is working against them, in my opinion here, is that they are probably negative in the cap space. They do not have a lot of flexibility when it comes to cap room going forward, which is definitely going to be a little bit of a nightmare. So I think three is fair, as they have some offensive pieces. They have plenty of quarterbacks to choose from, but none are the answer. The defense is great. They got some picks to kind of, you know, soften the blow. Three sounds good to me here.
Yeah, and one of the concerns that I sort of had when I was thinking about this position was how it would potentially affect the usage of Harold Fannin Jr. and just the fact that, like, he is such a unique player, and the way that he was sort of deployed was a little bit outside of the norm for, you know, what tight ends traditionally do, at least anecdotally speaking. But I was looking in our NFL stats hub, shout out ftnfantasy.com. Fannin was actually used fairly, you know, similarly to a lot of the other sort of dynamic catch first tight ends in the NFL in terms of like the route distribution that he would spend in the slot versus in line, stuff like that. So I think that concern is a little bit less to me now that I looked into the numbers. I do think that he is somebody that could still be used very creatively by whoever does take over this job. That was really my only big fantasy concern for this opening, but otherwise I'm in lockstep with you. This could be pretty interesting, especially if they do keep it in-house. I think Jim Schwartz would be kind of a fun hire. I don't know. It's definitely something to think about for them. I'm going to be very, very intrigued to see how they spend this offseason. But like I said, we do have to take our commercial break. We do have to, you know, cut things up a little bit. But on the other side, we still have some very, very exciting teams with some openings to talk about and some of the names that could be attached to those jobs. So don't go anywhere. This is the Crossing Routes Podcast. We'll be right back.
Yo, what's shaking, my bacon? It's your friend C.H. Herms from FTN's Crossing Routes Podcast here to let you know that our partners at DraftKings Pick 6 have a deal that you don't want to miss. New DraftKings customers, this one's for you. When you play $5 or more on your first paid Pick 6 entry, you'll get $50 in Pick 6 credits. That's right. Play $5, get $50 in Pick 6 credits to lock in your picks and take your shot at big wins. Just use our promo code FTN to sign up and start playing. If you've been thinking about trying Pick 6, now's the perfect time to get in. Just use our code FTN to sign up, and all new DraftKings customers can play $5 and get $50 in Pick 6 credits. Let's build some lineups. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org in Connecticut. Must be 18 plus. Age and eligibility restrictions vary by jurisdiction. Pick 6 not available everywhere, including New York and Ontario. Void where prohibited. One per new customer. Bonus awarded as non-withdrawable Pick 6 credits that expire in 14 days. Ends January 25th, 2026. Terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Crossing Routes Podcast, fueled by FTN Fantasy. I'm still Herms. He is still Tyler O. And we are still talking about the NFL head coach vacancies. And we are going to get immediately into the next one that I think is kind of interesting, but it could also maybe be a little bit of a mess. I'm going to be honest. The Las Vegas Raiders vacancy is probably the one that I'm going to put at the lowest grade. I am giving it a 2, if only because I don't know what the plan is here. The Raiders brought in old man Pete Carroll to sort of, you know, right the ship in Vegas, and they gave him 1 year. It did not work out very well. Geno Smith was brought in to sort of do, I guess, a like OG Seahawks revival that just didn't really pan out. Offensive coordinator Chip Kelly didn't make it through the end of the year either. The biggest area where the Raiders regressed was at the offensive line position. I mean, they ended up dead last in adjusted line yards. It was a nightmare for Ashton Jeanthey. They didn't get a lot going on the ground nor through the air. It's fun that the roster is kind of malleable. It's fun that they ended up with the first overall pick, if I remember correctly. That does kind of lead me to believe that Indiana's Fernando Mendoza might be going out there to the AFC West by the time that we hit this summer. But dude, especially after everything that sort of happened with the Raiders in recent seasons, not even just the Pete Carroll regime, but what they had to go through with like Josh McDaniels and all that stuff. I mean, like, how, if you're a head coaching candidate, how excited would you even be to get this job?
Yeah, I think I'm a little more optimistic about the Raiders than you are. I would give this a probably solid 3. I'd even consider a 3.5, and I'll tell you exactly why. I think for me, obviously, the first pick overall is going to play a big role. Two, they're going to have over $100 million in cap space, so they're able to go a lot of different directions. Looks like Max Crosby is probably going to stick around. They have some key pieces with Geno and Bowers on the offensive side of the ball. Yeah, the offensive line needs work, but this is one of these positions, in my opinion, where you can come in, plenty of cap space, first overall pick, kind of always can clean slate the roster in some ways. I'm not sure if Tom Brady being involved is a good or a bad thing, but Tom Brady certainly is a legend. So for me, it's just there isn't going to be a lot of expectations out the gate for whoever takes this job. Whoever takes this job for the Raiders is not going to be expected to make the playoffs in the first year. They're going to have that opportunity to really build and build their way. So I look at the first overall pick. I look at all the cap space there. I look at some cornerstones and some pieces, and I tell myself, like, hey, like, this is actually not a bad position to land in, as the expectation is pretty low. Pete Carroll, I hope he retires. I don't think there's anything else out there for him at this point in time. No surprising. We're seeing, again, Clint Kubiak's name out there. But I think this is actually kind of a sneaky one where we could see Harbaugh work his way over to Vegas here and coach there. I like Flores as well, but this is kind of like a dark horse spot where I could see Harbaugh wanting to go, because he can truly kind of mold and create this team from the ground up with plenty of pieces and plenty of cap space.
Yeah, because especially if they gave him some more free reign, as they would for maybe like a typical head coach, maybe not quite what they tried to do with John Gruden over many years ago, but maybe something a little bit more flexible where he can have some, you know, outsized input over what happens. That would be kind of fun. I do think that there is something to that. And I also do think that, you know, perhaps one of the things that I'm personally overlooking is the fact that toward the end of the season, when it kind of made sense for the Raiders to give more playing time to younger players like Jack Besh, the draft pick that they had out of TCU this past year, they ended up going in the direction of, you know, giving Tyler Lockett some stuff to do at the end of his career. So we haven't even seen necessarily everything out of the young weapons that they have anyway. So there could be a little bit more there. I don't know. Maybe there is a little bit more desirability than I'm giving it credit. Looking at our next team, though, I do think that this one is a lot more desirable, at least from the standpoint that you'll be playing in really good weather. The uniforms look really good. And you're probably going to have your pick of who the next quarterback is going to be, kind of similar to, you know, what the Arizona Cardinals might do with Kyler Murray. The Miami Dolphins are just, it seems pretty wide open. They tried to do a lot of interesting things, bringing in Mike McDaniel, the sort of dynamic whiz kid offensive mind, but the limitations of Tua Tagovailoa, I think that's ultimately what cost the man his job. But the good news about this opening is that you're going to immediately walk into a situation with Jalen Waddle. You're immediately going to walk in with Devin Achane, the fastest running back on planet Earth, probably. And whatever is left out of Tyreek Hill at his advanced age, I think he tore his ACL earlier in the year, so who knows when he's going to be fully ready to go, but at least you have some firepower to start with right away. They have not gotten to a point where they've requested any interviews, I don't think. I still think they're very early in the process with Miami. I'm going to give them, I think, maybe like a 3.5, if only because I think, like I said, you're probably going to be able to pick who your quarterback is going to be in the best case scenario. And the existing offensive weapons, I mean, you're going to have a bunch of track stars out there. You have to be excited about that.
I think, man, I don't like this situation for the Miami Dolphins, if I'm being completely honest with you. I think if given the choice, I'd rather go to the Raiders than the Dolphins. Maybe that's a little bit of a hot take here, but I think the Dolphins have one of the worst cap spaces going into next year. It is a pretty bad situation. Maybe it's not the stone worst, but clearly one of the worst situations. They have the 11th pick overall, Miami Dolphins do. Probably not going to get the quarterback that you want to get there. So, I mean, the GM, I think, is gone here, so that's going to help the situation. But it's just the Tua contract kind of limits which ways you can go with this. I mean, the offense has kind of lost its edge, man. I don't really view this as a good landing spot. The weather will be nice, but it's just, to me, it's just not that desirable. I've seen Harbaugh's name kind of thrown around. I think the one that would probably make the most sense to me would probably be Vance Joseph, just because I believe he coached there before. It's probably been at least 10 years now, but he's a defensive coordinator. His name is popping up in rounds. He's got the familiarity there. It makes sense they go the defensive route after going with the offensive mind. I think Salah is another one that can be really interesting there, but I'm definitely not as excited about this Miami Dolphins opening. I would definitely rank this one towards the bottom, if not the top.
And I will say, one of the difficult challenges that whoever takes this job is going to have to face comes from the ownership level as well. I mean, Stephen Ross, you know, if you just want to look back at some of the stuff that went down when Brian Flores was there, if you want to do some extracurricular reading as to what sort of organizational structure Miami has, it's not going to be the easiest place to work necessarily, but I like the idea of Harbaugh, especially because it would be sort of just, it would be a rather statement change, because I think that like a lot of these teams could really use big culture overhauls, but I think Miami in specific, going from a guy who seems very, very just chill and laid back in Mike McDaniel to somebody who's a little bit more of just like a, I don't know, I don't want to say like field general or whatever, but just somebody who has a little bit more gusto, you know, behind them and a little bit more of that track record, I think would be very strong for them. But before we move on to our next team, though, because, you know, Mike McDaniel is going to be a very interesting name that gets popped up for not only head coaching positions, but a fun bonus. This is not a head coaching position that's open, but your Detroit Lions are looking for an offensive coordinator. And I did see that they have requested to talk to Mr. Mike McDaniel.
It'd be beautiful, man. I've thought about it. I didn't want to say it. I didn't want to be too much of a homer here, but yes, as a Lions fan, there is a glaring hole in the offensive coordinator position. Very clear after this year. And if there's one thing that Mike McDaniel can do very well, that's lead an offense. He's had some positive things to say about Jared Goff in the past. So yes, we can move on, but yes, that would be a very lovely thing for my personal fandom.
Dude, I think it would be pretty sick. I think McDaniel would be a really good fit there. I also think that he would be a pretty interesting fit. I don't think it's going to happen. They haven't requested him for an interview for this job, but the New York Giants letting go of Brian Daboll during the season, I want to say it was like November or something. I mean, they got off to a bit of a rocky start. It would have been cooler if they had transitioned to our good friend Jackson Dart a little bit sooner. I think, you know, honestly, he probably could have saved his job if they had just started Jackson Dart from week one. But you look at this team, and it, especially on the defensive side of the ball, they've done a pretty good job of taking chances on some very exciting young talent through the draft. And then also, I mean, like bringing in Brian Burns, I think was also pretty cool. So like they have a lot of that stuff going too, but at least on offense, Dart, you're going to have that to build around. Cam Scatabo, that ankle injury was definitely gross, but as far as I understand and everything about that recovery timeline, he's going to be back. He's going to be ready to go, I think probably by the beginning of the season. And then also you're going to get Malik Nabers, which is going to be super thrilling. That's going to be another dynamic weapon you can add to the fold that you didn't have for much of last year. I think this is one of the better jobs, if only because you don't have to worry about finding a quarterback, I don't think. There have been some people floating the idea out there that because the Giants are picking so high in the draft that maybe they look at quarterback anyway, but like, I don't think anybody in this class is somebody that I would take over Jackson Dart personally. So you already have that going for you. I think that I don't know. I'm giving them like, what, 3.5, 4, something like that. I think that as long as it's an offensive mind, I think that that would be the way that I would go, even though they are coming off an offensive mind in Brian Daboll. They have requested to interview Kevin Stefanski. They've requested to interview Mike McCarthy, a name that we've sort of, you know, forgotten about here a little bit, but it also has his own sort of track record, sort of Harbaugh-esque with, you know, the playoff success and a Super Bowl victory in his past. Is there any name in particular that you think would be kind of cool to take over in the Big Apple?
You know, I think it's going to be a retread of Mike McCarthy, a Stefanski, I think a Harbaugh. That's the direction I think they're going to go. Because of many things what you said, the table's pretty much set in a lot of ways. I mean, they got Jackson Dart, the quarterback of the future. They got Nabers. They got Scadabo. The offense is in a good spot. Andrew Thomas, offensive line's good. Abdul Carter's there. Brian Burns. Like, the players are pretty much set, right? So this is, to me, it's I think it's a top two, at the very least top three destination. I believe they'll be picking 5 overall. They don't have a ton of cap space, but they're not in cap space hell. This is definitely a position where, you know, if you are a more tenured coach, like the ones we mentioned, you could walk in and conceivably do well, right? Expectations might be a little high, but you could come and do well. It's great to kind of see weapons all over on both sides of the ball. So I sneakily think that the Giants, is definitely one of the more appealing spots for a head coach to go to, specifically somebody who just came off of a head coaching role.
For sure. And look, I think if you promised me right now that Wandale Robinson was going to re-sign with this team, I would maybe put the desirability just up to a solid 4. He's set to be a free agent. It would be really cool if he came back as that. I mean, I think he really proved himself this past year. We talked about it a little bit in our last episode and also just throughout the year. They have a lot of stuff going for them. I think probably way more than our last team that we are going to be talking about to round out this discussion. Not only did they come up last because of how the alphabet works, but also because they fired their head coach ages ago, the Tennessee Titans. Did not work out with Brian Callahan. That proved to be a pretty big mistake. They've just been spiraling ever since they let go of Mike Vrabel. Not only have they been having a hard time figuring it out at head coach, they've been having a hard time figuring out at general manager as well. It's not just the entire organization's having a bit of a rough time. The best thing they have going for them, though, I think, is the fact that Cam Ward looked pretty good, if we're just grading on a very generous curve and understanding how bizarre those circumstances were. I also think that we saw very intriguing promise out of some of the younger guys that they gave a lot of playing time, specifically receivers Elik Iomanner, Chimere Dike, and also I'm very excited about tight end Gunnar Helm. He's a name that we talked about on this show, more so for like deep dynasty formats. I don't think he's going to matter too much for redraft in 2026, as far as we know, but Chig Okonkwo set to become a free agent. Definitely want to throw that out there for people. So there is a bit of a boon potentially for Helm moving forward. But yeah, dude, the Titans are pretty malleable. Actually, I'm going to ask you first, where do you put the Titans job? Because I don't want to be too harsh. Want to be too harsh and give them a 1.
So I think the ownership is such a red flag that it's tough to give them a high grade. And that's really where I'm at. I mean, if they were like hypothetically, if they were coming in with new ownership, this would probably be closer to a 3 for me. But like, I'm going to give it just a 2. The reason I give it a 2 is going to be they have a ton of cap space and a top 5 pick. And hypothetically, the quarterback is in place. Those 3 things, I can't give it a 1. When you say, hey, they have a top 5 pick, the quarterback's in place, and there's, you know, sorry, there's quarterback, top 5 pick, and cap space. Those are good things. Ownership really brings this score down a bit for me. So I think there's a lot of issues going on with administration behind closed doors, the players. I mean, it's clearly there's a level of leadership being inept, and that scares me. I've seen Matt Nagy's name tied to the Titans, which isn't a surprise considering the ownership issue we just talked about here. So it's like, of course, they're talking to Matt Nagy because they have issues evaluating talent. But yeah, I mean, it's not exactly a destination I would really want to go to. But hey, there's a couple key pieces there that stop this from being, I think, one of the worst situations. So it's okay. It's okay with me, Herms. I wish the ownership was better and I would be a little bit more excited about this, but I can't be with the ownership. They've just proved to be the problem here.
It's gross. And, you know, piling on what you were mentioning. So some of the other names that have been requested for interviews that are just absolute champs from the side of Tennessee. They've also they want to talk to Arthur Smith, our good friend in Pittsburgh, the offensive coordinator who was once upon a time the offensive coordinator in Tennessee during the, you know, sort of Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry era. They've also asked to talk to Jason Garrett. I don't know why the hell we need to get this man out of the NBC studios.
Ownership, man. Head coach. Ownership, man. This is what's going on. That highlights it there for me.
It says so much. It really does. But I'm gonna co-sign your grade. I think it's a little bit better than I think we're giving it. At least it looks on the surface, but there is a considerable challenge with the whole ownership structure for sure. Hopefully somebody can get the most out of Cam Ward. I think he could be a pretty exciting guy if they actually give him, you know, somebody that can teach him how things work. Unlike Brian Callahan, a man that I really don't think is going to have another head coaching job. Before we round out the discussion, are there any just candidates from around the league that we didn't bring up that you think could be interesting hires, not just for them, but like just any other team?
I think I've named everyone that I wanted to. I think Salah is going to get another shot in terms of non-head coaches last year. I think Kubiak's going to be one that I think at this point in time finds a role there. Jesse Minter, I'd feel pretty good about them going off and getting another job. Also, former head coaches. I feel like Stefanski is a lock to get another head coaching job along with Harbaugh as well. So it's an interesting situation. It's interesting every single year. I don't really think I have too much. I'm interested to see kind of more so what's the first kind of domino to fall here. That's going to really kind of fire things up here. So it's going to happen soon. Can't wait to see how the chips fall, man. It's going to be great.
It is going to be a fun time. And hopefully these teams will have some names in these positions soon. Once we get some of these hires, once a lot of this stuff is filled out a little bit more, we will have tons of opportunity to review who these new people are going to be here on the Crossing Routes podcast. As we get deeper into the offseason, we will have conversations about that. We'll have plenty of stuff to talk about as far as these 2026 NFL draft prospects go and all sorts of other dynasty topics. This is a year-round program, folks, so be sure to stick with us here and with all of the awesome content that we have coming out at FTN Fantasy. That is how we are going to end this one. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for spending some time with us. And we will talk to you all again soon. Adios. Think about it before we go, just to say goodbye. And staying up and sleeping.